Yo, what up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Do me a favor, as always, subscribe to the podcast, leave a like in the comment section, or just tell me what you think. And if you want to be a guest, if you want to tap in, man, you want some promotion, let me know, man. Tap in with me. I'm going to jump into the intro because the gentleman is always working right now. He's on his grind. This was definitely a double feeling for me, man. Double standard right now. But I got to get this young man his props. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He went to high school at Horn Lake High School in Mississippi. Also went to Middle Tennessee State University. Again, like I said, man, he's got three Super Bowl rings in his fifth year in the NFL. Darius Harris, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good. Unbelievable, dog. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, no, I appreciate you. I mean, even this current moment, you are currently at the facility. I'm sure you're putting work in or doing something. Hopefully getting a little rest, man, after another long season. But congratulations to you. Big ups to you, man. Congratulations.
No, I appreciate it. I took me, you know, like 2 to 3 weeks off after that Super Bowl win. You know, I know that's a sensitive topic, but, you know, after that win, took 3 weeks off, enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
But this week, like you see me now in the building, just getting back to it, getting my body right, and getting ready for another run next year.
That's what's up, man. Even before Horn Lake, let's talk Mississippi, man. Like I said right now, man, we talked a little bit offline. A lot of talent in Mississippi, a lot of athletes, good athletes come in Mississippi, a lot of good sports players, just people in general. But just talk to us, people who don't see you, who may not know you for the first time, man. This is for me on my platform. I appreciate it. Hopefully this get them to know a little bit more about what goes on and what comes out of Mississippi, man. You personally, though, man, let's talk a little bit about just you individually growing up in Mississippi in that process, man. What was that like for you? How was it in the sports that kind of intertwined in your life early on?
Man, I think it just instilled in me at an early age, you know, just regardless of what your circumstances or what resource you have, you know, long as you got, you know, as long as you have opportunity, you breathe the air, there's always a chance. You know, you just gotta, it just builds work ethic, you know, it builds dedication, and, you know, honestly, it builds survival of the fittest mentality. Like, regardless of what you have or what you don't have, you're gonna make the most of it and get the work in. Don't make no excuses for myself or anything like that, you know. So it just kind of just be a good quality and trait as far as me becoming a hard worker, me being dedicated, me just putting my head down and working regardless of what I have or what I do have, and just making sure that nothing stops me from getting to where I need to be. I mean, you know, now, you know, being in the NFL, having the luxury of all the recovery products, the recovery resources, the tools, the people here available that's at your, you know, at your dispense, at your hand any moment, you know. In high school and in college, it wasn't always like that. So you kind of just learn to just either do something to get the same results or you know, home make something or however you got to do it, man, just for you to make sure that you're at your best ability and at your full potential. And I mean, it just honestly, that's what got me where I'm at now, and just continue to, regardless of that, just build hunger, build dedication, and just build, you know, just that dog in you, you know.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's really true. Like I said, if you've been in Mississippi, if you lived there, if you grew up there, it's adversity is different, right? You face it earlier, you face different lack of resources, right? So you got to really, you know, you got to really be about what you want to do to get up out of there or do something with yourself. And that's a shout out to you and the family upbringing, man. What was it like? Just big family, small family? How was that growing up out there? I mean, I know because, you know, sports and stuff is big down south, so I can see family ties. How was that like for you?
Man, family-wise, we have I'd say medium to big family. One thing about it, like my family in Jackson, honestly everywhere, but mainly, you know, my family in Jackson, they, when it comes to sports, like ever since Little League and middle school, like I'm 3 hours away from them, and they are always, you know, come to multiple games, whether it's a Little League game, Jamboree game, like a game in middle school, high school, college, like no matter where it's at, they do a good job, you know, traveling, supporting, and vice versa. You know, we're just from high school, and now that the table has turned with my younger cousin finishing up his senior year of high school, and, you know, us taking that trip to go support him now, and, you know, him going to Middle Tennessee and us going to do the same thing, you know, big family oriented, like whatever somebody doing in a positive light, we're going to be there to support them and just make sure that they feel love and, you know, just be there for the fam, because it's always better doing what you love and doing what you do and looking up and having your family screaming and support you and knowing that they're there just watching, you know. And so that's a good feeling for me. That's kind of, it started at a young age, and now even with my boys and with my family, you know, I always do a good job of making sure returning the favor, whatever it is, whatever they do. If I got an opportunity, if I'm free, just showing up and just support, because that's, at the end of the day, that's all it's about.
That's definitely dope, man. That no better feeling, like I said, and you to go, like I said, they do it for you. and come out. I gotta give cousin Nikki a shout out right now for making the plug happen, man. Gotta get.
Oh started. Yeah, yeah.
She be at the game too, boy. She going hard for cousin, man. She like that little cuz. I got him. I said that's definitely dope, man.
Same way.
And rocking with you, yeah. Y'all just passing along, man. Y'all passing that along. It does something for youth, man. It kind of keeps you motivated, as you know, as an athlete. Them rough times, but to have that family support, man, is so crucial. Cause I mean, that's kind of what we do it for too, though, man. It helps us going, man. Keep you going, cause that grind, like you said, man. You 1%er, man. We 1%er, college athlete, pro athlete. That's very minimal. But again, right. Shout out to you and the fam for sticking with it and also finding a way, man. But that support makes it a little bit easier, bro, for sure.
It does, man. And then, like you said, it's definitely a motivation piece to like the younger cousins, because he used to come and watch me, you know, when he was in elementary school and Little League. And so to see, watch him grow and watch him, you know, my little cousin, Amari and Bailey, he finishing up at Terry High School. And just to watch him from elementary school playing with the Byron Bengals to go to now getting a full ride scholarship to my former university, Middle Tennessee, it's storybook. It's storybook.
I was gonna say, how does that, I can see in your face a little bit. That's kind of not crazy, but it's reality, which is good. Have your little cousin now following behind you, man. How does it make you feel just personally, though?
Man, it make me feel good, you know, like just being with him, even though it's an age difference. You know, we all grew up together. Like, I used to watch him with my mom and them, with cousins, whatever was going on. We used to watch him babysit him and his sister and their other cousin. You know, we always, even though it was a gap between us, we always kicked and hung out as if we all were the same age. So now to see him at that, you know, becoming a teenager, you know, taking that next step in life and be able to get a full ride scholarship and be able to take his game to the collegiate level, you know, I'm just proud of him and, you know, kind of like a pops, you know.
Yeah, like, hey, you've seen that process, step. Right? You've been seeing that process you get to oversee, but also, man, the information you get to give the young fella, the mentorship, the like, hey, you got to watch out for this. The guidance, man, is going to be second to none because you've been there. You've been there, man. And I'm sure his goal is to get where you at now. I get you, we know that, right? So you can really walk down that path, man. Let me ask this, outside of football, though, growing up, multiple sports as a young man or what, young boy, or was it just, you know, everything?
Man, you know, just like anybody down south, you ain't no one sport. You know, you're going to play multiple sports. You're going to play everything until you don't like it or until you grow out of it or until you have to make a decision. For me growing up, you know, started off with basketball, you know, quit that. I still played it growing up, but, you know, just as a young kid, little league basketball, and then I actually went to football. And like I told this before, I actually wanted to quit football as well. But my mom, it was me and my twin brother, she's like, yo, I paid these fees. They're non-refundable. You're going to at least stick it out through the rest of the season. So I was just like, well, I mean, if I'm out here, you know, might as well get better. Because I definitely, you know, I haven't always had the talent and the skill set that I do now. You know, I just remember that first year being brutal for me. Like, man, it's crazy, you know, not being able to catch a slouch, you know, not really just a, in my mind, thinking I would end up here compared to where I was. So, I mean, just to stick it out and see the hard work and the reward from sticking it out and being dedicated, man, it just makes me grateful. And just understand, regardless of what you plan on doing, whether it's football or, you know, becoming a doctor or whatever, you know, as long as you stay down, stay dedicated, make the necessary sacrifice, and truly, truly, you know, hone into your craft, man, anything is possible.
That's definitely dope. Shout out to the twin. I got a twin sister, though, but I mean, still ain't nothing like it, man. It's different having that sidekick, man. I was a boy, but it was like, didn't happen. But
my twin brother. It's, yeah, you in the same boat, man. Y'all just read each other. Y'all know each other,
bro,
man.
Bro, it's the intuitions, them little moments, them feelings. Like, that is really real, bro. Like, I mean, when you're going through something or something bothering you, like, okay, I feel a little different, too. That stuff is some real stuff, man. Like I said, that's definitely dope. You talk about the work ethic, man, and the grind. Who would you attest kind of that makeup to help molding you to that person, help bring you up in that?
Honestly, I would say my mom, my grandmother, my granddaddy, just from them, you know, I still look at it to this day when I'm going to practice or something in the morning and I'm not feeling my best. And I think about those days when my grandma used to go to Baptist 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, 30-minute drive. Just, you know, and come home happy, still provide for us, still, you know, not complaining, never said a word, but making sure that she give us the best life and the best opportunity to make something out of our life. And even my granddaddy, just no matter what, never complaining, no matter out of his three grandkids at the time, you know, giving us any and everything we want, you know, at the time, not really noticing, like, oh, whether it's, you know, lunch money or snacks from the gas station before we go to elementary school. And then my mom, like, to this day, you know, I growing up and used to watch her work all day, you know, then sometimes work nights and multiple jobs and picking up shifts here and there just to make sure that she's able to provide for the kids. And I think that kind of just watching that grow up, you know, it kind of builds into me like, okay, you know, this is the blueprint, like regardless of what I'm doing, whether I'm in a hospital field or I'm in a, you know, a cubicle or office or whatever, mm-hmm. the hours is going to be there. Make sure you're staying focused and dedicating. And like I said, just honing in on your craft, whatever it is, spend plenty of hours, plenty of effort, like make the necessary sacrifices to be good at whatever profession or whatever occupation you're in. And just seeing those three people, and even my cousin, all of my cousins and aunties, like, who's been around, you know, always had a job, always made sure they did the necessary things to provide for the family. And regardless if it's ugly or if it's pretty or if you want to do it or not, hey, somebody's depending on you. And so, you know, you got to make sure you're doing what you have to do for the family and for the kids.
That's what's up, man. That's for sure. Well said, bro. Like, well said. That's why y'all football players got to do more interviews too, man. Well said. Well articulated, bro. Definitely. I know your family going to be proud, man. Let me ask you this, though. How do you feel about grandparents, man? I know because my grandparents were, my mom's grandparents were from Nashville, Mississippi. And they were just, it was just it's a different feeling. Grandparents in general, right? I tell kids that I coach, work with, value your grandparents, right? Like, take advantage of them because none of us are here forever, but grandparents are called grandparents for a reason. I can tell when you mentioned them, man, it was just like your pops, it's like something different. How are they so impactful in your relationship, just in general, right?
Man, honestly, they were, even though they're grandparents, man, like you said, it's just something different in that element, far as they're going to spoil you, but also they ain't going to take no mess, too. Like, you know, and that just is what it is. They're going to show love, give you everything you need, but when it's time to come correct or when it's time to do something or put you back in line, oh, they don't have no problem, you know, making that happen. And then that's just a part of, you know, having my grandma and granddaddy growing up, you know, whenever my mom needed something, you know, just having three kids and you know, doing it as a single mom or whatever, they made sure to just allow her to, you know, do what she needed to do, whether it's working or going back to school, better her life for us, and then just give her an opportunity, okay, let's watch the kids or whatever she needs so she's able to better herself, not only for her, but for her children as well. And I mean, they just do something to you, you know, like they instill certain things in, you know, like older grandparents, it's different, you know, it's just things that you don't know or things that you might can do with your mom that you go over to your grandparents' house and it's like, nah, we gonna nip that in the bud now. And little things like that, you know, it still live with you to this day, like just small stuff. Like for me, example, you know, like my grandma was real big on pots and pans or where certain things were put. Mm-hmm. Man, and at the time, you know, as a kid, you're like, okay, the longer they're put up, what does it matter? You know, mm-hmm. fast forward to 20 some years later,
you do.
Okay, I got to have my pots and pans put a certain way, like on this side, and then the pans on the other side.
Yeah.
The tops got to be on them. I need all my tops to the Tupperware. I need all my tops to the pan. And I noticed that just little things like that you don't even think of when you're younger, but when you grow up, it stays with you, you know. And something else, like as far as how I have my towels folded. When I'm folding my towels, I got to have it folded a certain way, put up a certain way. And if it's not, it drives me crazy. And I think of my grandparents because, you know, if them towels weren't folded the right way or them, you know, them pots and pans weren't put up the right way, do it again. Oh, no, you ain't going outside until it's finished. Like, yeah. So I definitely, you know, definitely appreciate that. Because, you know, it just, like I said, it just builds good habits in you. And those good habits form over time to where now. It's become muscle memory. And now when you have your kids or your house or your family, the things that was taught to you at a young age, you know, now you're implementing in your house into your kids and to, you know, your family.
Yes, sir. Definitely. That's definitely dope, man. Again, grandparents is dope, man. Y'all listening, y'all heard it first from two people, man. Value them grandparents.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of value in them. High school to college opportunity, right? As you know now, right? I mean, you were in that process too, probably the recruitment, all that stuff is heavy. What would you say the biggest things for you, though, adjustment wise, like going from high school to next level? Okay, I'm making this jump. I'm going Division I, I'm going college football, but I want to be on the field. What were some of the things you felt like you had to improve on as a player to make that next jump and then get playing time in college?
Honestly, I would say more so just going to it with a open mind, you know, going to it willing to work and willing mm-hmm. to have an open mind, because what you did in high school, honestly, don't matter at the next level. Mm-hmm. And then think about it, you might be the main guy at your high school, let you get away with everything, let you do whatever, let you play all type of different position, and then you're that mm-hmm. guy, everybody's catering to you. Well, going making that next jump, your whole recruiting class, say if it's however many people in your recruiting class, 24, mm-hmm. look at it as if each one of those 24 people are you, just in Georgia or in Florida mm-hmm. or in you know, Iowa, wherever, you're the same person. They had the same, you know, MVP, prom king, you know, just all the accolades and all the hype and everything, all the love and, you know, everything that, and then when you get to college, it's like, okay, now you're in a class with those people who got those same accolades, same thing, maybe even more, maybe at a bigger, you know, maybe at a bigger school, or maybe at a more predominant school or a predominant league. I would say you got to go in with a mindset, okay, what I did in high school doesn't matter. You have to go in with the intention and the mindset that you're willing to work and understand what's your purpose, what it is that you want for yourself. Like, and I would say get used to it, you know, because anything could change, but don't be down on yourself if you have to go red shirt. If you're not going into being a true freshman, playing, getting a lot of snaps with this and that, take that year to develop, learn the collegiate game, learn from a senior or a junior, guys who've been around the program, been around the collegiate level, to understand, okay, how do I be a collegiate level player effectively? You know, how do I balance the school also with the athletic side of, you know, how do I go in, you know, time management, you know, how do I make sure that I'm focused on everything? What, you know, just get around an older guy, older savvy vet who's had success on and off the field, or just, you know, kind of use it as a mentorship that first year. Go in, be willing to work, you know, and have fun, enjoy it, because at the end of the day, those guys you come in with, those going to be some of the guys that that's going to be your long-term friend, even 10, 20, 30 years when you're way done with collegiate ball or ball altogether, you know. Those going to be some of the good guys that you, you know, have at your wedding and everything like that. So I would say just go in, man, with the open mindset of willing to work, not feeling like you know it all. Take constructive criticism, because these coaches, they've been around coaching more, some of them longer than y'all even been alive. So they know what they're talking about. And even if you don't like it, shut up, you know, hey, take it for what it is. And it's a way to go about everything. You don't have to go in feeling like, I'm this and I'm that. Let your action and let your work ethic, the work you put in do the talking for you. And just go in, you know, being a pro, because at the end of the day, all this stuff is going to transfer, especially if you're trying to make it to the next level. So if you started when you're a freshman, you have 4 to 5 years of building good habits, building good traits to take along with you when you go to the professional level, and then it just all carries over and roll over and kind of instills good values and good core values and good ethic and good just habits within yourself to allow you to have success at the collegiate level, regardless of where you're at. And just truly believe in yourself. Like, if you have the talent, no matter where you're at, you know, they will find you.
That's what's up. I didn't ask you earlier. I meant to. Who are some of the football players you might have looked up to, man, mimic your game after growing up, man? I mean, this is a wide range. Everybody, I feel like, want to be somebody. Who was one of the ones you were saying you were wanting to be like
in that man. Area? So I think it was a little different at the time, because when I was younger, you know, I just knew I was going to be a receiver because I played receiver.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way. So I played receiver and, you know, safety. So I had a couple guys who I favored my game after, like, definitely like Ocho Cinco game. You know, I always study his footwork film. Yeah. Randy Moss for sure, like a big one at the time. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, you know, guys like that, Teddy Bruschi, you know, the great Sean Taylor. Yeah. And, you know, just that's when growing up, and like in your time too, that's when it was real, you know, ball. Don't get me wrong, it's ball now, but, yeah, you know, the real physical, like, okay, you know, you might lead a field. Mm-hmm. Something might be broken, you know what I'm saying? Body might be a little
rules different
little,
back then.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Them hits and everything was definitely different. So, you know, the game was, you know, you idolize certain people who brought that to the game. And man, just those guys who I named, man, the guys who I looked up to and just had success at the highest level and carried themselves in the right way, you know.
Yeah.
On and off the field.
That's what's up, man. Quick thing as far as what was one of the toughest things you probably say you got to overcome during your college career there? What was something maybe you think about, you know what, ooh, that was a rough patch for me, man. I got through it, but it got kind of tough.
I think not necessarily going into college with the same kind of high school mindset. Like, as I touched on earlier, the advice that I gave to guys making that transition, speaking from experience, you know, just from changing your mindset, changing your logic up to, I'm entering a different field. This ain't going to be like high school. I'm not going to be able to necessarily do everything or expect everything that was, you know, that was given to me in high school. So you kind of just got to reprogram and really just for me, you know, it was just making that transition. Like, okay, getting serious. Like, I can't do the same thing that I did in high school. Because, you know, for a lot of guys in high school, you know, you can solely rely on, you know, talent. Mm-hmm. Show up, boom, do what you got to do. All right. go, you know, not necessarily putting in the extra work or putting in the necessary work, because if you're in high school, if you're good, you could just show up on a given Tuesday and go put up stats, you know. So I would say more so just for me, it was just overcoming, like, how do I be a collegiate level? How do I change, take my game to the next level, especially if I'm serious about, you know, making it to the professional, I would say just overcoming, how to be a collegiate athlete.
Right.
Understanding the magnitude of how to carry myself, how to, like I said, time management, how to position myself around certain people, understanding who to position, who to hang around, who not to, because in college, you know, you're gonna meet a wide variety of people, some for the good, some for the bad, and then moments you might not realize it. So just surround yourself with people who has the same goal as you and want to see, and who has the same end results of you. Like, you know, y'all both have the same vision and plan for each other, and surround yourself with people like this so y'all can push each other and have the same logics and same reason for going
like-minded
forward.
Like-minded people.
So, right.
That's what's up, man. What round did you get drafted in?
Didn't get drafted, undrafted, coming out of 2019. Yeah,
so I had a labor surgery. Even better. Undrafted.
Yeah, I had a labor surgery that kind of hindered me, you know. But, you know, the way my journey happened, I wouldn't change it for nothing, you know. It just made me, like I said, just coming from the soup, building those work ethic, you know, it was just another, you know, something I've been used to. Getting underrated, coming out of high school, not really, you know, I think two-star or whatever. Not really having, like, major colleges, you know, coming after me and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, even coming into college, not really being sought out at first as somebody who probably had potential or somebody who could be playing on Sundays. So now, you know, to go undrafted, it's just, okay, well, I mean, I've always been, you know, kind of like underdog. So it's just, you know, just continue to add fuel to the fire and continue to motivate me to, you know, get to where I need to go.
How many, I would say, teams, or did you go work out for? How many of that process before you actually got on a roster? How long was that process for you?
I got signed right after the draft. So the draft went through, and then, right, I don't know if you know how it goes, but like undrafted, it's 7 rounds of the draft. Boom, once the last pick of the 7th round, then that's when they start calling undrafted guys, like priority undrafted guys or whatever. And so if you're a drafted guy, priority undrafted guy, then right when the draft is over, you have a team calling you like, hey, we want you to sign this and that, this and that, this and that. And then it's like, it's happening fast though. So, you know, like I remember that process like yesterday, you know, just like calling, hey, we want you to come here for this, this, and this. Or we want you to come here for this and this and this. But more so, instead of thinking about the money, you have to think about where it's going to be my best opportunity to make the team. Because an undrafted guy, you're already kind of behind the totem pole. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not unrealistic for you to make the team. But, you know, you got to do a little more and show a little bit more than others. And, I mean, been fortunate enough to finish up my 5th year, undrafted free agent coming out. And, I mean, just trying to get it all while I can, you know, get as many years as I can while I'm in here.
Why, when you chose ultimately sign with Kansas City, just even initial process, but just overall the grind, the years being underrated, just initially when you get to sign that name officially on that contract, was it a weight off your shoulder, or was it like, okay, now I got to go to work even more?
It was a little bit weight off my shoulder, just because it was the ultimate dream, the ultimate end goal of, you know, obviously getting to the league, you know, however that is, getting an opportunity in the league is the goal. But like with anything though, or like that's just the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just the starting step of your milestone or the starting of the process that you're about to endure. And I mean, don't get me wrong, enjoy that feeling. I enjoyed that feeling, this, and you know, and it, just to hear my name being called, just to have a contract, have a job playing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I knew ultimately, like, okay, you still are drafted free agent, so enjoy this for the night, maybe 2 days. But all right, let's get back to work, because it ain't nothing guaranteed, you know, especially as an undrafted guy. So, I mean, you just kind of, it was good in that moment. But then once we reported, it was like, okay, I got to go make a name for myself and show them what I'm capable of.
What would you say has been your, I made it to NFL moment, people ask, like, what was it like, okay, now I'm really here? Or is it walking to a stadium, or is it starting playing a game, maybe getting waiting on playing, waiting opportunity? What was your, like, I'm here
me
moment?
Personally, I would say for me personally, like, I would say when I started playing, like getting in and playing special, because I started playing special teams.
Mm-hmm.
But my first year actually playing, you know, the was a COVID year, so we had a couple guys had COVID in my position, so I got activated, brought up, boom, was only supposed to play like a limited role, limited snaps. Okay, nothing of it. Like I played special teams before, so I was used to it. Now I get a chance to possibly play defense, but on a smaller role. Mm-hmm. Man, well, you know, this was 2021. Mm-hmm. We ain't no supposed to play a limited role. Then all of a sudden, we was already down some guys to COVID. Then the guy who was playing ended up, you know, pulling a hamstring or something. So I was like, hey, now I'm wearing the green dye. I'm the Mike linebacker calling the plays in front of the huddle with, you know, with all pros and guys who, you know, had success in this league. And mm-hmm. I feel like that was my moment going up, wearing the green dot, looking at those guys in the eye, you know, and letting them know the call or whatever, and just leading, you know, having to lead them guys essentially. And I think that was like, okay. Like, all right, ain't no undrafted, none of that, ain't no rookie, this ain't your first year. Like, you gotta go, we just like what's expected of them, they expect me to go in and hold my end up. So it's like, you gotta grow up fast. And I think that was my welcome to the, like, that's when I felt like truly that I can, you know, play at this level.
That's what's up.
And get any help that we want, and also that I got my first fumble recovery that game.
Okay.
So, you know, that made it a lot better, felt good after, even though some things I messed up on, you know, all that get overlooked, got to mm-hmm. win. So
that's what's up.
And it was the 2021 against the Atlanta Falcons, you know, so that was the game I kind of, you know, I felt good, like, okay, you know, I can do this. Obviously, I'm not where I want to be, but for me to be thrown into the fire up like in that way, man, it just proved to me like, okay, I can do this for sure.
That's what's up. Before we get out of here quickly though, again, I'm gonna just to be a three-time Super Bowl champ in 5 years, how does it make you feel for your family wise? How is that feeling? Because I know everybody, I mean, they got no choice but to help live through you and celebrate with you, but how is it celebrating those moments with your family members, man, and those people who helped you groom you into the young man you are today, man?
Man, I think, man, I'm as much as, you know, I'm excited for myself to be in the, to be able to experience and win three Super Bowls, you know, I think I'm excited for my family as well, like, just for them to be able to be there, be able to experience, and, you know, to be able to have that excitement and that moment of joy, you know what I'm saying, with me as well, coming on the field, seeing the confetti, you know, at the biggest stage, mm-hmm. I feel like that was something that I won't ever forget. And then also my family, you know, bringing my mom and granddaddy and brother to the game. And then so this past year, you know, it was the last two Super Bowl meant a lot more to me because I have both of my sons. Mm. I have two boys. So the one in Arizona against the Eagles, my oldest son, Cruz, he was there. Phenomenal. The camera loved him. He was on a commercial. Like, they, man, they did the whole thing. And then this past year, so my youngest son, he wasn't born yet, but he was at the Super Bowl, but he wasn't, you know, out to see everything.
Yeah.
So this year, to go back in the way that I did and to be able to have both of my sons, like my youngest son, to be there too and on the field and confetti and everything, I just felt good for them, you know, because they might not know it now, but when they're my age or when they're teenagers or whatever, you know, look back at the picture and brag to their friends or whatever, like, oh, we was at the Super Bowl when we were this year old, and to have proof of it under the confetti and everything. Like, I more so did it for them. Don't get me wrong, I definitely enjoyed it too, like, for myself, but I wanted them to be able to experience and have that memory and have that fulfillment as they get older, be able to talk to their friends and family and just understand the magnitude of how lucky and blessed they are to be able to experience that. And I don't need my oldest son having one up on a younger son going,
you know, that's competition, bro.
Oh, I went to the Super Bowl and we won. Oh, when you was there, you didn't get to go on the field, da da da. So, you know, glad that both of them, you know, both of them can say that they've been on the field and we won when both of them got a chance to experience that. So, man, between just me and my family and my kids being able to enjoy it, you know, me, I just, you know, like I said, family oriented. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're able to get the same fulfillment, if not more, and be able to participate and you know, see everything that comes with it, you know.
That's what's up, man. Congrats to you, the family, they're proud of you. So at the end of my shows, man, in basketball terminology, though, we call it triple threat, right? We can dribble, pass, or shoot. But at the show right now, I always tweak it, right? So I'm going to ask you for your personal triple threat, though, but give me, like, three things, man, like, people who will see this either on the West Coast, back home, three things yourself, like, you kind of say how you carry yourself, or kind of, like, what are the things you hold on to? Like, people, they see D Harris, they're like, oh, that's D. Like, give me your three, like, moral values or something like that, how you carry yourself right now, your personal three, your personal triple threat right now.
Yeah, so my triple threat, when they see me, they know Darius Harris, regardless, as an NFL player, as a child, or whatever. they know Darius Harris, humble, hard working, and I would say dedicated.
Definitely dope. Humble, hardworking, dedicated, man. Hey, man, much love to you. Much respect, man. I know that grind is not for everybody, and you're still out there making it happen, man. So I know you got the work to do. Probably get to some film sessions. Whatever you got to do is get that body right.
Look, man, I got my workout in, man. I got it in early. I did.
Yes, sir.
My youngest son crossed birthday today, so about to go. Yeah, about to go, you know, spend a day with him, get out. Got to go pick up one last thing, and then, you know, go enjoy the day with him and whatnot.
That's what's a family, right? Hey, happy birthday to the young king, man. Keep it going.
That's what
man.
We do
the
it for.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you, man. For real. Enjoy that day, man. Enjoy the young fella, man. Y'all have fun, man. Big up to you, man. Keep it going.
Man, I appreciate
you. I'll be in contact. Now, I appreciate you for real, man. I know you didn't have to do it. Much love. Again, shout out to Nikki, man, hooking this up, man. I appreciate you. All right, man. We out.
All right.